Okay, today is the 18th of the 6th of August. This is, I believe, our 19th shiur in Sefer Musar Avicha of Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. We are on page Ayin Hey. Page Ayin Hey, getting close to the end. And to review, the general gist of a lot of what Rav Cook is writing about here is just how seriously we take midos, in particular how seriously we take risk of gaiva, of haughtiness, because it's so antithetical to the service of Hashem. It's channeling things to one's own self, one's own ego, when it's supposed to be the opposite. It's channeling the self to the greatness of Hashem, which comes from the opposite mida. So last time we saw, starting at Os Hey on the bottom of page Ayin Dalid, that he quoted that even though he heard the name of a great person, that he had said there's no concern of Lifnei Iver and Midos, nevertheless, he would say that there is. And I pointed out, even though in the footnote Lamed Gimel, they write that they're not aware who it is who talks about this, except the Peleoit says, not like what he heard. The Peleoit, which is a Musa Sefer, says there is a problem of misleading somebody in Midos, praising somebody in such a way that he could become arrogant. So they were not aware who he was talking about. I said last time, I believe he's talking about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I quoted Dini's grandfather's Sefer, Zeller Gesundsein Rashach Nazon, who in the back of his Sefer of quotes of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, Rabbi Yisrael said, in Midos, you don't have to worry about being macho somebody. And he says explicitly, you don't have to worry about praising somebody lest he become haughty. And the truth is, I'm not 100% sure that Rav Kook is really arguing, because what Rav Kook does say is that when it comes to lifnei iver, when it comes to misleading somebody, we're only concerned if it's absolutely certain. But if there's a way you can assume, well, it's not going to go the bad way, he's not going to do it in a sinful way, then it's not a problem. It could be Rav Yisrael was saying that also. You needn't be concerned lest the person become haughty, because he probably won't, or he likely won't. So let's start from the third line on page Ayin Hey. Im kein, if so, kol zman she'einanu yodim shedover ze yavi lemida zo asura. So long as we don't know for certain that this will lead to a bad mida, ika lemitle beheter, you can assume permission, meaning you can assume that it won't be a problem. Lifnei iver, the prohibition of misleading somebody, of causing sin, is only when you know for certain it will do so. But if it could, but likely it won't, that's okay. Even if generally this leads to a bad mida, in most cases, but every mida has good paths, you could say this person will use it in a good way. I'm speaking to him in a way that would bring out a certain mida, which for many people leads in a bad direction, but it can be used in a good direction. I can assume that he'll use it in the good direction. And that's a Gemara expression, means we hang on heter, which means we attribute, we rely on that things will go well. Not in everything in halacha you're allowed to assume the best, but in this mitzvah you are allowed to assume the best. So unless I know the worst, I can assume the best. That's what he says now, though. Aval, however, b'misha borer lanu, when it comes to somebody about whom we are certain, shebehis oro la'ezo mida ra, that when he is roused in a negative mida, berube shimusha, that in most instances it's bad, yishtamish babera asa, he'll use it for bad. In other words, if there's somebody that I know, every time he's provoked a certain way, he'll use it badly, he'll get angry, he'll get arrogant. We're on page Ayin Hey. Then this is a prohibition, like all prohibitions in the Torah. Okay, so the point he's trying to bring out is, it could be that there are instances where you don't have to worry about it, but where we do have to worry about it, it's an absolute prohibition. Shemitzvah aleinu laharchiko, it's a mitzvah to distance him from that. V'asr ligrom kol davar sheyeviehu lazeh, it is forbidden to cause anything that will bring him to this. I think Rav Kook views this as a detail. But the point of what he's saying is that we take the concern of somebody, we take midos so seriously that even the risk that you could lead somebody in a wrong direction in a particular midah is a very serious thing in halacha. Whether or how Rabbi Yisrael Salanter differed on this, I'm not sure. I have a feeling, as I said before, that he's not really different. Rabbi Yisrael is just saying, even if it could lead to problems, but it very well may not, and therefore my obligation is to honor the person. He might become haughty, well, he might not, and therefore that's not my concern. Maybe Rabbi Yisrael would agree that if I know it's a person who will become haughty from honor, then I should go easy on it. Now he seeks to prove more generally. We are 2, 4, 6, 8, about 10 lines down on page 9. Hey, v'harei afilu shema yavou lasos mitzvah shalom mehamuvcher. We find that even the concern lest someone will do a mitzvah not in the choicest way, choshash Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai v'parakamad v'avavasra shalom l'hodi elhem eschalomo. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned in the first parak of Bava Basra not to tell him his dream. Is that clear? No. He assumes that we know all the stories in the Gemara. You can see in the footnotes, Bava Basra Daf Yud, what happened was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's nephews, his sister's children, he had a dream that they were going to lose, I think it was like 17 dinar, I forget the amount, a big amount of money. So he convinced them to give a large amount of money to tzedakah, because they were going to lose it anyway. Then what happened is they got a message from the authorities that they were coming to take their money away. And he told them, don't worry, you're only going to lose 17 more dollars. Well, I forget the currency, but you're only going to lose a small amount. And what he was doing, he was subtracting how much he had a dream they were going to lose, minus how much they'd already given away. And he said, don't worry, you're only going to lose X amount. That was the remainder. And they said, how did you know? How do you know? So he said, I had a dream. I knew you were going to lose X amount, and you already lost most of it. So they said, so why didn't you tell us? He said, because I didn't want you to give it shelo lishma. I wanted you to give the tzedakah wholeheartedly. So I didn't tell you, so you gave the tzedakah wholeheartedly, but now that you're worried, you're going to lose a lot of money. I'm comforting you. Don't worry, you're only going to lose X amount, which is the remainder. Rav Kook says, you see that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was going to, he didn't want his nephews to give tzedakah without it being lishma. If they're giving tzedakah because they know they're going to lose it anyway, if you have a dream you're going to lose it in the stock market and you decide to give it away, so it's not as lishma as if you didn't know that. Now, is that an absolute proof? No, maybe for his own nephews he was trying to get them to a higher level. But Rav Kook is saying, you see from that Gemara that it probably would have been more comforting or easier for them if he had just told them the dream at the outset, but he didn't want them to not do a mitzvah l'shma. Says Rav Kook, look how far our tradition goes to how you're supposed to encourage a person to, that even if he won't do it l'shma, that's not so good. Okay? A similar idea. V'chein matzinu sha'afilu gzeros usyogim shalmaris ayin levad gozru chazal b'midos. This is a fascinating point that he makes. Let me summarize it and then read it inside. We have different types of siyagim. A siyag is a protective fence around the Torah. A lot of rabbinic law is siyagim. Don't do this lest you come to do that, which is a Torah violation. There are different categories of siyagim. One of them is maris ayin. Maris ayin is not only you're not supposed to do a sin, you're not even supposed to do something that looks like a sin to the onlooker, but even if there happens to be no onlooker, by the way, but you're not supposed to do things that look like a sin. There's a famous story they tell that the Chafetz Chaim was once on a train going somewhere where he was going to be received by thousands of people, and a man was sitting next to him, and he didn't recognize him. The Chafetz Chaim dressed like a Pashut Yid, and the man started to say, I'm so excited, I'm going to see the holy saintly Chafetz Chaim, and he started going on and on. So the Chafetz Chaim said, he's not so great. And in one version of the story, the man slapped him. Another version, he started yelling at him. When he got arrived, he realized who he was talking to. But I once heard from an Adam Gadol, he said he didn't believe the story was true. There are a lot of stories people tell. He said he didn't believe the story was true because the Chafetz Chaim would have been in violation of Maris Ayin. He would have been a Yid denigrating the Chafetz Chaim, because to this man, he looks like somebody who's not the Chafetz Chaim speaking negatively or diminishing the Chafetz Chaim's greatness. He doesn't believe he would have done it. Maybe he wouldn't have started praising him more, but he wouldn't have said something against him. A marasayin is anytime a Jew does something that looks like a sin. So Rav Kook makes the following point. Marasayin is one category of fence around the Torah. It's one category of rabbinic siyog, and it is one where generally we're not so strict. He's going to illustrate that. For example, in Hilchos Basar B'Cholov, in the first chapter that rabbis learn when they're learning the laws of meat and dairy, so Shulchan Aruch there mentions that in olden times, before there was tefudi, and before there were chemicals, the non-dairy creamer was made from almond milk. They used to, from nuts, they would draw some kind of extract, and it looked like milk. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, people will sometimes cook chicken in that milk, and that's okay. But if you cook beef in milk, you have to put the almonds out. You have to put out those nuts so everybody can see. They shouldn't look and see that looks like milk in a meat dish. So why only if it's beef? Because beef is a Torah violation. Chicken and milk is only a rabbinic prohibition. We don't do either one, obviously, but to consume chicken and milk that were cooked together is only a rabbinic violation, but if it's real meat and milk together, that's a Torah violation. So you only have, it says if you do it with real meat, you have to put out the nuts so that they realize that it's not a violation. So you see that that's something where, but if it only looks like you're doing a rabbinic prohibition, we don't get nervous about it. So Maris Ayin is not so strict, because you see we only implement the stringency when it looks really bad. Nevertheless, he points out, but Maris Ayin on bad midos, the Gemara is concerned for. So you have to follow his logic. What he's showing is Maris Ayin is a category of halacha where we're not so strict. We're only concerned if it looks like a Torah violation. We're not so concerned if it looks like a rabbinic violation. Yet, he will show you there are instances where the Gemara says, but Maris Ayin, where it looks like you're having bad midos, forbidden. The case in the Gemara in Brachas where a person on Shabbos, I think it was Rabbi Zeira, used to cut a very large slice of challah. And the Gemara asks the question, Mechzi Karab Sanusa, looks like what we would call today, Karab Sanusa means a glutton. It looks like a person who eats like he's famished, which is not menschlach. So the answer is no, because he doesn't do that every day. So on Shabbos, he's allowed to just a more honorable slice. But the point is, if not for the fact that we have an answer, there'd be a problem when it looks like somebody's eating in a gluttonous way. What does it look like? It's a marasayin of bad midos. I'm allowed to cook chicken and milk together, even though it may look like a prohibition, because marasayin we don't get so nervous about. But this we get nervous about. Says Rav Kook, what do you derive from that? That midos are a very, very serious area of halacha where our sages saw it worthy of making protective fences, even where they wouldn't make other protective fences. Okay? So now I'll read it inside. V'chein matzinu, right in the middle of the page in Ayin Hey. So do we find Shafilu Gzeres Usyagim Shal Maris Ayin Levad, even when rabbinic decrees and fences of just Maris Ayin. Gozru Chazal B'midos. Our sages made decrees when it comes to midos. Valachas kama v'kama, that's what that abbreviation stands for, means how much more so l'shiar ha-siyagim, how much more so would they make other protective measures. V'halo iser maris ayin kal mishaar ha-siyagim. Is it not true that maris ayin is more lenient, less strict, than other areas of siyag? Kidemuchach midivrei ha-poskim b'reish hilchos basar b'cholov. As is clear from the poskim in the beginning of the halachas of meat and dairy, which is what I just told you, l'inyan chalav shkedim v'basar of, as you see with regard to almond milk and chicken and poultry, okay, where it is permissible, even though it doesn't look so good, the answer is because it only looks like a rabbinic prohibition, so nishkeferlich, not so bad. Now, where do you see this concept, though, that maris ayin and midas we are concerned for? Uchagon de matzinu mischazi karav sanusa. We're concerned because it appears like Rav Sanusa from the word Ra'ev, hungry. A Rav Sanusa means, you'll pardon me, it said today, a chazer. Looks like a chazer. So the Gemara asked the question, the parach that asked, abotza kula sherusa, in the case where he was botzea, which means to break bread, on a whole big piece, sherusa is like a, Rashi says that it's large enough to be your whole meal, beperaketz ed mevarchen, that's the sixth chapter of Gemara Brachos, Umashane, and the Gemara answers, Kevin de Kalyomi loka avid hachi, since every day he doesn't do that, so it's okay. But without an answer, that would be problematic. Avalulay zeba, without this, Mechze karav sanusa va'aser. He would look like a glutton and would be forbidden. So you see that they made prohibitions in midos more strictly than they made prohibitions in the laws of meat and dairy. Fascinating. V'chein mechze ki yuhara gazru v'kam anyanam. And we have a halacha category called mechze ki yuhara. Yuhara is haughtiness. Yahir means to be arrogant. Mechze ki yuhara, it looks like haughtiness. They made decrees in numerous areas. For example, in times of old, people wore their tefillin all day. Nowadays, if a man would want to wear his tefillin all day, we would tell him, don't do that. It looks haughty. That's for great tzaddikim. There are great tzaddikim today who do also. The Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael would wear their tefillin all day. I think Rav Scheinberg used to for most of that. But for most people, you don't wear the tefillin all day. We're not at that level. Why not? I want to be frum. That doesn't look right. It's not for us to do. Now, there's a downside to forbidding that. You're preventing somebody from doing an added mitzvah. But the answer is the concern that it looks like bad midos. By the way, we may be talking about somebody who really has good midos, but it doesn't look right. It looks haughty. That's such a concern that they make prohibitions. V'afilu levatel mitzvah daraisa b'sheva al taisa gozru mishum maris ayin shel iser gaiva. And even to go so far as to at least passively negate a mitzvah from the Torah, they made decrees because of Maris Ayin of Gaiva, where you theoretically could fulfill a mitzvah from the Torah, but they said, don't do it because it looks haughty. Shalom matzinu gzera kazos levatal mitzvah sasei mishum Maris Ayin hakala mishar gzeres. Maris Ayin, in any other area where it's not midos, where it's something else, where it looks like you're violating a law of kashrus or something else, we would never tell somebody, don't do a mitzvah, because to the onlooker it might look like you're violating Shabbos, or might look like you're violating kashrus, or might look like you're violating something else. But where it looks like you're violating good midos, don't do it, even at the expense of doing a mitzvah. It's a fascinating point. I never thought about this before in my life, but he's pointing out that we take midos, Chazal took midos more seriously than other things. To the degree they'll make a Maris Ayin prohibition on midos more than they will on other things. And here's he gives you the example he's talking about. V'harechos and harotza likros, the Gemara in Brachos talks about Chosin, the night he gets married, not obligated in Kriya Shema, without getting into to what degree it's relevant today, but. So there's a Mishnah there. You see in the footnote, Yudzayin's a page earlier is where the Mishnah is. So it says, but what if he wants to? What if he feels he can have kavana? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, lo kol harotza litol es Hashem itol. Not everybody who wants to take the name can take the name. That's an expression that our sages use when they're saying, what if I feel like I'm up to it? I want to do the mitzvah because I think I can do it. Not everybody wants to take the name can take the name. The concern is, it doesn't look right, even if he can, even if he's really up to the task. It doesn't look right, it looks haughty. You're talking about a positive mitzvah from the Torah, let him do it. No, if it looks haughty, Rav Kook says that's a deep insight into the hashkafa of the Torah, that even to negate a mitzvah, not to do a violation, but to refrain from doing a mitzvah, to go that far, we do go in order not to violate a Maris Ayin of Midos. He says that shows you how far Midos go, that they're willing to make such a decree.
Yeah. Does this also have to do with why a gadol doesn't stoop to pick up something that's lost?
That's Kavod HaBrios. That's almost the opposite.
Okay.
That's where, even though he's humble, but he's not supposed to lower himself beyond the dignity of his post,
okay,
of
so
his position. That's Zakein Veinu Lefi Chvodo. Yeah, that's, and he touched on that before, where he said that even though we're supposed to be so careful with humility, but protecting your actual stature, that you should do. That's dignity. That's not, please honor me. That's just maintain the dignity of your position.
I was wondering if it was a Maris Ayin. Thank you for answering.
Well, it's similar to Maris Ayin. That's true. So v'harechosan arotza likros. Echosan, who wants to recite Kriya Shema, kevin shiodeya ba'atma shiyachal likros. He can have Kavon, he's able to. Veino tarud, he's not tarud, is a word we use that means to be distracted or agitated. He's not tarud. Veino mavatla misimcha, so it also will not take away from the simcha. Demanda omar osik mitzvah lo amrinam kiyam kishayna yachal aso shneim. All right, he's getting into the which halachic position this would fit into. But umitzad lo kol harotza, I'm on page on Vavna, second line. Umitzad lo kol harotza litol es Hashem, potro Rabbi Shimon Gamliel veosro. Mitzad means from the angle of, from the point of, quote unquote, not everyone who wants to take the name. That's this concept in halacha that just because you can doesn't mean you have license to do that. This is only for great people. So a regular person is not allowed to do it. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel exempts him, and not only exempts him, forbids him from doing it. Even though, what are you forbidding here? You're forbidding a mitzvah. Yeah, but midos go so far that we say, I'm sorry, you're not up. You can't do this mitzvah now. Even if you think you can, it doesn't look right. Doesn't look right. It doesn't look like good midos goes that far. Im kain, says Rav Kook, kol shekain shis yagim acherim, how much more so that other protective measures, xeros, krovos, chovahim, and other things that are even closer to the sin. Maris ayin is not so close to the sin. It looks like chicken and milk, but it isn't chicken and milk, so nishkefer lo. It looks like haughtiness, but he's not haughty, so leave him alone. But yet, Chazal made a decree, so how much more so things that are closer to the sin, which I think he's saying, like doing something that would cause somebody to have a bad midah. So his point is, technically speaking, something that could lead somebody to a bad midah, the halacha would take very seriously. What's the only reason that maybe we don't have to be so strict? But as he said before, not always do you have to be concerned. You give somebody a compliment, doesn't mean he's going to become haughty. In most cases, he won't. So that's not lifnei iver. So he ends off by saying, it's not, the matter is given over to the heart of a man, and then he paraphrases a pasuk in a Gemara in Moed Katan that says that a person who tries to do things in the right way, he'll see the salvation of Hashem. What he means to say is it's a very hard call to make. His point is, theoretically, technically I should say, this is a very serious matter, because misleading somebody in midos is in some ways more severe than misleading somebody in the laws of kashrus. But on the other hand, you know, if you feed somebody something non-kosher, that's a clear prohibition. What will affect somebody's midos is a lot more vague, and therefore you have to use your lev, you have to use your judgment, and a person who tries to do so and does it with Yiras Shamayim, so Hashem will help him, and he'll see the salvation of Hashem. Okay, so an insight into the severity and seriousness of midos. Brings us to Perek Dalet, okay, which he titles Cheshbon HaNefesh B'Avodas Hashem V'Harochas Madrigosah. Cheshbon HaNefesh is a term we use for making a reckoning in the service of Hashem and evaluating its levels. So Aleph, first section, Mahus Cheshbon HaNefesh. Mahus, Ma means what? Mahus, see, Hebrew is so much easier than English. English has all these polysyllabic words. But in Hebrew, when mahus means the what of it, which we, in English we say the essence of it. What is cheshbon hanefesh? The mahus, the whatness, meaning the essence of cheshbon hanefesh. What is the definition of cheshbon hanefesh? In all Moses Svarim, we use this term, make a cheshbon hanefesh. What is a cheshbon hanefesh? Says Rav Kook, mahus cheshbon hanefesh, the essence, the core of cheshbon hanefesh, who is Shayiya ha'odam nosev and nosein b'seichel, that a person should, to be nosev and nosein means give and take. In the Gemara we say there's masa umatan. It means where you really work something out. Is it like this? No, it can't be. So maybe we could say like that. It means where you work through something very thoroughly, you think it through, in his seichel. Al kol inyanei nafsho, on all matters of his soul, v'chiyuv avadosu l'lokim yisbarach, and the obligations of his service to Hashem. That's what a cheshbon hanefesh is. I make a reckoning with my soul. What do I have to do? What are my obligations to the Almighty? Avol, however, ro'ui shelo l'shkoach, it is appropriate, it is worthy not to forget. Ki ein ha-cheshbon me'inyin ha-medama, ela inyin sichli tzaref mavur. This is a very important point. He says, cheshbon hanefesh is not some imagined thing. Rather, it's a matter of clear and pure seichel. It's not some fantasy, some loose, non-logical undertaking. It works with real, systematic principles. Ukemo shebachol chokhma v'yediya sheba'olam. And just like in every other area of science and knowledge in the world, e efshe lisa v'litein bo, you can't discuss it, you can't analyze it. Ki im kishatiyelo metchila yediya mevureres barov pinoseh haikarios, unless he first has a clear knowledge of its cornerstones, of its main concepts, I'll call upon him at the very least. Can't do a mathematical analysis if I don't have the rudimentary knowledge of mathematics. I can't discuss, how to build a house if I don't know the basics of architecture. If you don't know the science of something, you can't start analyzing and taking it apart. And only va'achakach yuchel lahotzi toldos mechuvanos, and only after that can you bring out a tolada, means a result, a conclusion. Only if I have the science to work with can I come out with an accurate, to be mechuvan means to be accurate, so with an accurate result. Kain l'tachlis efsharos cheshben ha'nefesh. So too, for the goal of a cheshben ha'nefesh, a reckoning of the soul, hechrechi hu mikodem, it is necessary beforehand, levarer, to clarify, ulalaben, lalaben means to really clarify, to get it crystal clear, etzlo, by him, hayidios hadrushos lazeh, the knowledge, the pieces of knowledge that are needed for this. Shetiena beruros besichlo, they should be clear in his sechel, v'charusos bilvavo, and carved into his heart. There's some things that we know logically, but they're not, we don't walk around with an active awareness of them. Sometimes a person does something and you say to him, well, don't you know such and such? He said, yeah, sure. Why aren't you doing that? Because he has it in the back of his head, but it's not, you're not walking around with an active awareness of it. So he says, it has to be clear in his seichel. He has to know logically exactly how these matters work, but it also has to be firmly carved into his heart. V'oz yuchol lachshov b'hen, then he'll be able to think about them. V'lo techolesh nafsho, and his soul won't become weak, he won't become discouraged, kol kach b'shtokiko lachshov cheshbona, when he yearns, longs to make this cheshbon. Ki simtza dais efek hadarish lo l'tzarach cheshbon, because he'll find sufficient for what he needs for the cheshbon. What he means is, just like if I have no training in a certain science, I have no training in architecture, but one day I said, I'm going to build a house. And I start picking up a plank of wood. Oh, it falls down. Oh, no. I'm going to be worn out before I get to first, because I have no idea what I'm doing. I'll try it this way, try it, and it doesn't get anywhere. So cheshbon ha'nefesh is no less than that. If I don't have the knowledge, the basic science of what's needed for it, and I start to try to do it, I'm going to get worn out. My soul, I don't have the knowledge. And now he's going to illustrate that point. Vihine. Some of the sefer is very deep, and some of it are such basic points that we have to constantly bear in mind. This is such a basic point. It appears, this is an observation on society, on people, on Yidden, that there is a common mistake found among people. Shekol davar mikri nitvas hu ka'atzmi. What a phrase. That things that are incidental are grasped as if they are essential. Mikri, from the word mikre, it's an incident, it happens to be so. Atzmi, from the word etzem, means intrinsically so. People frequently make an error that they take something that they think is, they view something as if it's essential when it's really tangential. I have to say, in yeshiva, I found this frequently. When our Rosh Yeshiva would say shiurim, and he would explain a concept, and he would illustrate with an example. I found very often, sometimes the listener, the bacher, would ask him a question afterward, and the bacher would say, Rebbe, when you said that it means like this and like this, he said, no, I didn't say it means like that. That was an example of the concept. That's not the concept itself. But the concept was so abstract that they couldn't grasp it. They would take the example rather than getting the core principle, which is an example of what he's talking about, where a person grasps something that really is incidental, and they view it as if that's the thing itself. What he's going to talk about here is there are things that happen to us when we make a cheshbon ha'nefesh. There are emotional responses, and he says a person could think that's the cheshbon ha'nefesh. So a person who hasn't really studied what cheshbon ha'nefesh is, so he starts thinking, I really have to serve Hashem, and I'm so far away from it. He gets depressed. He says, did I do a good cheshbon ha'nefesh? I am so depressed today. What a cheshbon ha'nefesh. Says Rav Kook, becoming depressed is not cheshbon ha'nefesh. Becoming depressed might be a result of a person making a cheshbon ha'nefesh, but actually it's not cheshbon ha'nefesh at all, and much to the contrary, it's actually not a good thing. So he says this is a common problem among people. It's a phrase to remember. Shekol davar mikri nitfas hu ka'atzmi. Things that are incidental are viewed as if they are essential. Bizehu inyan hayetzahara. And this is a matter of the yetzahara. The yetzahara has all kinds of tricks, and one of the things he can do is make us falsely define something, misassess something, and then we get a negative impression of it. If a person tries to grow in Avodas Hashem and they have an experience, and they say, oh, that's what it's about, then I don't want it. Meanwhile, that's not what it was about. That was a tangent. Today, you happen to have experienced it that way, but that wasn't it. That was a mikra. That was an incident. This is, Rav Kook says that's a matter of the Yetzer Hara because it's so true. It happens so frequently. You didn't just experience davening. You didn't just experience Torah. The bad experience you had was a mikra that happened to you when you were trying to daven, when you were trying to study Torah. But it's not the thing itself. So it's one of the Yetzer Hara's best tricks. So says Rav Kook, that applies over here. Ubazeh hadavar rogel. And here the matter is common. She'achrei birur hacheshbon of tzimon hanefesh be'emes. After a true cheshbon and the thirst of the soul and truth, liyasher drachet, to straighten out its path, al pi ritzon habaris bro, I want to straighten out my path based on the will of Hashem. Bereosa ad kama hirchika miderach hakodesh. When the soul sees how far it has distanced itself from this holy path, techolesh, it becomes weak, vitis bayesh, and it becomes embarrassed, vitis atzev, and it becomes depressed, v'yerach alev, and the heart becomes weak. In fact, if you look at some of our tefillos, 2 weeks to El, some of the tefillos we say in tshuva, Boshti v'nechlamti laharim, I'm ashamed and embarrassed. We have such strong terms of the shame. In fact, the Rishonim say the order of the brachos in Shemona Esrei. We have our three introductory brachos where we praise Hashem, but when you get to the core of Shemona Esrei, which is the petitionary section, you ask for things, what's the first thing we ask for? Da'as. Understanding. What's the very next two things? Tshuva and Slicha. The Rishonim all say, because the moment you get a little bit of das, the moment we come back to our senses and actually think clearly, immediately we're ashamed. Oh my goodness, I better do tshuva. Oh my goodness, I better be forgiven. Because we realize how far off we are from where we're supposed to be. That's the immediate result of a moment of clarity is, oh boy, I better do tshuva. So it says, when a person starts to make a cheshbon, he suddenly realizes, you know how far off I am? I thought I was this far away from where I'm supposed to be, and I realize I'm this far away. I'm much further. So he... But what he's going to say is, but that feeling, that is not cheshbon hanefesh. That's a mikra. That's something that happens to you as you make a cheshbon hanefesh, but it's not cheshbon hanefesh. V'cholze, and all of this, afal pi she'eino tov ba'atzmo. It's not inherently good. Feeling depressed is not good itself. Mikol makom hu mikra nolad mi birur ha'chochma v'yediyah shel cheshbon hanefesh. It's something that results from the clarification of the chochma and yediyah that comes with the cheshbon hanefesh. Begorim, and it causes shemitzad shlemus hanefesh lahachek mimena eileh hafseidim, because of the sense of wholeness of the soul that it wants to get away from these failures. Turn the page. Shehem hachulsha v'haboshes haradefes, which is the weakness and excessive shame. Umikol shekein haitzavan v'rachalev, and how much more so depression and weakness of heart. Weakness of heart, but I don't feel like doing anything. I don't have the oomph to do anything. Yiyu eila lola ma'orim umachzikim yoser el haderach hatova yishara. He says that feeling of oyve, I'm so far away, really shouldn't be a bad thing. It should be something that actuates me. Okay, so I got to get right on this. I got to correct this. It's supposed to be something that encourages. Ki hanefesh haholeches betom v'yosher b'derach Hashem yisbaro, because a soul that is going in the straight and good path in the ways of Hashem, lo techolesh, never gets weakened. Rak tachgar oz v'hadar, rather girds itself in might and splendor. V'lotus bayesh, and is not ashamed. Rak teromim karen b'chavod asher atrabo me'elokak onafoshazal. Rather it feels elevated, it's karen, its honor is elevated by the crown that Hashem has given it. This is something, by the way, he writes, one of Rakuk's famous svarim is Oras HaTshuva, Lights of Tshuva. He writes very beautifully there, I haven't seen it in a while, but about how tshuva, on the one hand, it's this moment of intense sadness and embarrassment, and oy vey, look how far off I am. But in the very same instant, I'll just elaborate a little bit. He says a beautiful idea. By the very same awareness that makes me feel so bad about my averos is the very same awareness that makes me feel so confident about my tshuva. Why? What makes a person sin is really he feels he's not in control. This is not my fault. This is my tendency. I was made this way. I can't do better. Other people are better. I am this way. That's why I'm sinning. What is tshuva? It's regret about the past combined with commitment to the future. Why do they go hand in hand? Because how can I really regret the past? To regret the past is to say, wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault, wasn't my upbringing's fault, wasn't this Mida's fault, it's my fault. That's to say, I sinned and I fully didn't have to do that, to take full response. But the same moment the person says, that really was my fault, what he's saying is because I can overcome that. Therefore, he has full confidence in the future. A person who doesn't feel responsible for his past also doesn't feel any confidence he can do better in the future. But tshuva is this moment of saying, yes, I take full responsibility for the past, but you know why? Because I'm absolutely going to overcome it in the future. So the regret over the past and the commitment to the future go hand in hand. And that's why I'm fully confident. I'm not going to do it again because the reins are in my hand. So it's a similar idea he's saying here. When a person makes a cheshbon and nefesh, oyvei, I'm so far off, but you know what? You know why I'm ashamed? Because I absolutely don't have to be that way. And I absolutely am not going to be that way. I woke up, that's it, I made a cheshbon and nefesh, and I'm going to do better. So he says, a soul that has really studied properly what it's about doesn't become discouraged. To the contrary, it might be a long road, but I'm on it. I just turned on to the highway that's taking me exactly to where I need to go. All right, I'm going to be on this highway for a long haul. It's going to be a whole tank of gas, but I'm going where I need to go. And he's confident he's going to get there. So it doesn't get depressed and doesn't get discouraged. Lotus atzev, it will not become ki chedvas Hashem u'uza v'lo yerach levava ki migdol oz shem Hashem. These are psukim, but it's not depressed because the joy of Hashem is its stronghold, and its heart won't be weak because it's a structure of strength. The name of Hashem, letzadik mishalach batuma, to the tzadik who's going in the right path. Avol, however, hanigashim al derech Hashem yisbarach, but those who approach the way of Hashem, uritzonim lo leches barachos chovos halev, and they want to go on the paths of the duties of the heart. The low Talmud Hakodim, without any study first, the low Talmud Hakodim Lamaisa, without the study that comes before action, Yitu b'halacha zu, they will err in this halacha, meaning in this area of halacha. V'yale al levavim, will come up in their heart, ki hachulsha v'haitzavon zehu me'etzem hachesban hanafshi, v'yirat tzufa. They will think that the weakness and the depression is an intrinsic part in Cheshbon HaNefesh. Says Rav Kook, no it isn't. Cheshbon HaNefesh is not depression. There are two things, to put it in different words, there are two things that look similar, but they're really totally different. The person who studied properly what it's really about, and what tshuva really is, and what serving Hashem really is, does an analysis, what am I supposed to be and what am I? Ayve, it's so far off. But he has this moment of tremendous encouragement. All right, now I've realigned myself. I'm heading where I have to go. Oyvei, I'm so far away, but I'm going.
So another, you happy instead of sad.
Yeah, it's a sadness of the past, but it's a great anticipation of the present and the future. But there's something that looks similar to it, but it's not the same thing, which is, I'm no good, I'm this and that. And if that, when that projects into the future also, that means he didn't study it right. And he thinks that's cheshbon hanefesh, that's just depression, that's despondence, that doesn't get anybody anywhere. Yeah.
So is there a place that tells you how to do a proper cheshbon hanefesh?
Well, it's all the Sifrei Musar.
I feel like we once learned with Ferguson coming at
speaking. Probably. There's a sefer called cheshbon hanefesh.
And in the back it has like a...
Right. Yeah,
I think the book As Long As I Live, though, he really does. He always says, take responsibility for everything you do. And he really is an example. And if you look at him, the way he dealt with things, it's very inspiring.
Yeah. you'll notice all of the Musa of the Torah is never, it's never this self-flagellation. It's punishment. But a person's supposed to believe he has great, great potential. He can feel far from his potential, but that is only supposed to compel us. So good, so turn it, crank it up more, do more. It's never supposed to make a person despondent. But there can be a fine line, because zachel v'nefesh, the initial reaction can be, oh my goodness, how far have I faltered? But that immediately has to be followed with a positive. Yeah.
Is it oversimplifying to think, as an example, well, I'm driving my car down the road, and whoops, I inadvertently drove up onto the sidewalk. So, oh my goodness, how far did I go? Oh, well, just get back into the road again. However far off you've veered to the
Yeah, I mean, a more apt muscle might be, though, to say that...
it's not a good one. I think
it's maybe a little stronger than that. It's where you're driving along, you're listening to one of your best Torah tapes, it's wonderful, and you're very excited. Oh, good, I should be there an hour, because they said it's a 3-hour drive. Then you look down the direction and said, oh, turnpike south?
Oh,
I'm going north. So you get off. Oh, I guess it's going to be 5 hours, but at least I know I'm heading in the right direction. You call ahead. All right, at least. So it may not be just up on the curve. It might be a little further than that. I think that's what he's saying is, but a person, you'll see in a second, he's going to quote a pasuk that says this exactly. But a person who says, oh, I was supposed to go to... Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania, not Bala Cynwyd, Utah, but I don't know how to get there, so I don't know, I'll just start driving and hope that I see a sign, then he becomes despondent because I don't know where I'm going. That might be the mashal. The point is that if at least I've studied, I know where I'm supposed to be going, even if I realize I'm far away, but at least I'm heading on the right track now, and that comes with a hislavos, an excitement, but if I can't figure out how to get there because I didn't study at first, then it just brings despondence, which is what he says now. So the person who doesn't study it and thinks that a cheshbon nefesh is just saying, oy vey, I'm no good, I'm a sinner. Av ha-nefesh lo tekubal aleha, that stands for b'sefer panim yafos, mashu neged chuka. The soul can't accept upon itself with a sefer panim yafos, with happiness, with a pleasant countenance, what's against its very essence. The nefesh doesn't want to be depressed, doesn't want to be despondent, doesn't want to be hopeless. So if a person convinces himself that cheshbon nefesh is oy vey, I'm no good, so how long do you think you can walk around happy like that? Al kein yahalchu kidoranis v'lo yosifu avodah v'chachma. Therefore, they walk around depressed, and they won't add, they won't grow in their service and in their chachma, because it's how good can you feel like a well? At least I know I'm headed in the wrong direction, but I have no idea how to get going in the right direction. Ve'al zeh nemer, about this does it say in Koheles? Amal haksilam tiagenu asher lo yeda laleches aliyah. The toil of the fools wears them out because the fool doesn't know how to get to the city. That's exactly this. He knows he's heading to the wrong place, but he doesn't know how to get to the right place. So what good is that? So it just wears him out. How I'm going to run out of gas soon. How much can I drive around not knowing where to go? Al kain, therefore, ro'i l'shanein. L'shanein means to learn sharply. That's the word we just read yesterday in the Torah, v'shinantam levanecha. It means to learn something sharply. Al kain, ro'i l'shanein. One has to sharply learn l'ilmod u'la'ayin sharshe hayir al pi omek divrei chazal. He has to study the roots of Yiras Hashem based on the depths of the words of Chazal. What are our Musar Sfarim? They're elaborations on the words of our sages, which are very, very deep. And understanding what it's about. There's two great things Hashem gave us. One's called the Torah, and the other is the walking Torah that you carry up here. That's the Seichel. He has to use the depths of Chazal and the depths of the mind that Hashem gave him. Those are the two instruments he has to come to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what his obligations to him are, what he's supposed to do. Kechol mishpatei HaTorah. Like all laws of the Torah, that we judge, we analyze their details through the medium of the pure seichel. Just like a difficult gemara, a difficult subject in halacha, I ask a question, I have to think, we come up with an answer. The same is true in Midos and in Musar. What is it really about? What is Gaiva? What is Yiras Hashem? This has been a recurring theme in this sefer that it requires very deep and careful study. Ach lo yismoch al binas atzmo, but he should not rely on his own understanding. Lahagiyad omek prati me'amke chachmas anefesh. He shouldn't rely on his own chachma, his own bina, to get to the full depths of the details of this, of the chachma of the soul. To illustrate just how difficult that is, therefore, he says, Shehi tzad echad mitalmud havodah, which is one side of the coin of the study of avodah. What are the two sides of the coin? If we had a coin, kivayachol, it's called the study of Avodas Hashem. One side is all about man. The other side is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or at least the midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us. That's a pretty deep subject matter. Shirabu v'atzmu rosheyem, that the branches of it are many and deep. Borrows a phrase from Eov, but it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not made man forget Chachma Lagamri, he hasn't denied him Chachma. And therefore, if he relies on our sages, V'chakro omek divrehem, and he will analyze the depth of their words, V'alpi misilosam haraba yasig besichla levado gamkein. It's two things. This is always a balance in learning. To what degree is it intuitive, and to what degree am I responding to what they're saying? I'm studying words of Chazal, but what does this mean? So I have to use some of my own seichel, but I have to be using some of interpretation of what they're saying. It's a balance. He says, if a person certainly shouldn't just on his own say, I'm going to try to intuit what all these midos are. No, you need the words of Chazal. But if he takes the words of Chazal and he tries his best with Yiras Shamayim to understand what they're saying, then Hashem will put it in his seichel to understand what they're really saying, and he'll come to a conclusion that will give him the chachma he needs to guide himself. Okay, so to summarize that section, Cheshbon HaNefesh is a very deep undertaking, and it requires analysis of midos. I mean, when we learn Achavos Halvavos or Mesilas Yesharim or any of the other Sfarim, we're really studying in depth what we have to do, and to do it without those books, and to just think that Cheshbon HaNefesh is on my bed at night, I say, oh yeah, I'm such a sinner, that doesn't do it. That just makes for depression, and the Nefesh won't bear it for too long, and it will ultimately reject it. Avodas Hashem has to come from Simcha. It can come from a recognition, as I said before, that I'm 5 hours traveling 80 miles an hour the wrong direction, but it has to come also with you got to get the GPS on, you got to at least know where I have to go, and then that comes with the excitement, at least I'm heading in the right direction now, and that's
your U-turn.
Yeah, you got to make the U-turn, and all right, so a little bit of a setback, but at least we know where we're going, and we never want to, you could summarize this whole chapter with that one pasuk that he quoted, Amal haksilim tiyagenu ashelo yedel lechazel. The ksil is the fool. He doesn't have the chachma. So that the toil of the ksil wears him out because he does not know how to get to the city. If you work very hard and you even have a setback, but at least you know where you have to get, then it's not disheartening. And all right, little delay, a little bit of a speed bump, a little setback, but we'll get there. That's the way Avodas Hashem is supposed to feel. If it doesn't feel that way, then we have to go back to the books. Okay, let's continue with the next section. Cheshbon HaNefesh l'iyun u'lamaisa. Cheshbon HaNefesh, an analysis and an action. Or you could say in the way we think and in the way we act. Page Ayin Tes. That abbreviation, huh? Ayin Tes, yeah. 79. Oh, yeah. We know how to get to the city. Or at least so we delude ourselves. Yeah. Right, yeah. Bechavos Alvavos, that abbreviation is Bechavos Alvavos, Perek Aleph, Mishayah, Cheshbon HaNefesh. In the first chapter of Bechavos Alvavos has a section called Cheshbon HaNefesh. It doesn't exactly use it the way people say Cheshbon HaNefesh today. Today, Cheshbon HaNefesh means when a person's sitting there thinking, what did I do right and what did I do wrong? That's not what it really means. Cheshbon HaNefesh really means, what is my obligation in the world? That's the original usage of it. Part of that is, okay, and if I've done wrong, how do I correct it? But it's much more general than what did I do wrong and what did I do right today. It's really, what should I be doing? In any event, in the first chapter of that section of Chovos Levavos, Omar, he said, Shekvar hu's harnu al Cheshbon HaNefesh, we've already been commanded and exhorted in the midst of Cheshbon HaNefesh, Shehu ha'ishtadlus beino lebein sichlo, which is the effort between himself and his sechel, meaning what he has to work on in his mind, what he has in terms of obligations. Where do we get it from? Where's the pasuk? Me'akosav ha'almor. We just read this on Shabbos also. From the pasuk that says, V'yadata hayom, you shall know today, v'hashevosa el v'vecha, you should drive home to your heart. Don't just know it, take it to heart. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem is God, He is the Almighty God. Ba'shamayim mima'al ve'al ha'aretz mitachas, in the heaven above and in the earth below, ain od, nothing else. Says the Chovos Halvavos, that is the source of the obligation for Cheshbon HaNefesh. Problem. That pasuk doesn't say anything about Cheshbon HaNefesh. That pasuk just says, Hashem is it, in the heaven above and the earth below. There are so many psukim in the Torah that say, do the right thing, observe all my commandments, shmartem eschukai v'esmishpah, you know. This one just says, Hashem is it. Isn't it strange that the Chovos Halvavos should choose this pasuk to be the source of Cheshbon HaNefesh? That's the question he has. V'hakavona, the intent is, af al pi, even though, in the yeshivas we train the kids from an early age, whenever you see an af al pi, it's really a question. Whenever somebody says, even though, nevertheless, that's really a question, answer. Sometimes you phrase things as question, answer, and sometimes you say, even though this, but nevertheless, that's the same thing. So it's as we say in Yeshua, he's forvarning the kashi, speaking out a question. So what's the question? Even though cheshbon and nefesh is supposed to lead a lot to action, what am I obligated to do in life? Am I doing it? So I must act. I have to change. I have to do things. And apparently this pasuk has no mention of action. There's so many psukim in the Torah that do refer to what a person must do. This one doesn't. Why should he choose this pasuk as the source of cheshbon and nefesh? Amnam, here's your answer. However, mimash amar b'shamayim mima'al v'la'aretz mitachas, from the fact that the pasuk says, in heaven above and in earth below, Ramaz, the Torah is hinting to you. Here's the answer. Ki kevin shehu yisparach ein od melvado v'shamayim v'la'aretz, since he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing aside from him in heaven above and earth below. So it's like this. Hine, mitzad mashu b'shamayim ein od, from the fact that he, in the spiritual realm, in the heavens, there's nothing else but him. So all matters of seichel, the seichel is the more spiritual side of man. And malachim are described in the Svarim like the Rambam does as sichlim. They're pure seichel. They don't have physical existence except when they're sent to do something in the physical world. But all of those things are sichlim. That's in the world of seichel. So since Hashem is it in the whole Shemayim, so all of your seichel should be dedicated only for His honor. Umitzad mashuba oritz einod, and since He's the only thing on the earth below, meaning in the physical realm, hachiyu shakol nyani hamasim haartziyam yechul rak l'man kvodo. So all of my earthly actions should be for Him. So in all of my thoughts and all of my yearnings and all of the concepts I understand should not be only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of my actions, whether it's doing a chesed, putting on tzitzit, sitting in a sukkah, shaking a little, whatever it is, all of my physical actions, which belong on v'ha'aretz mitachas, so Hashem is it. He's it. He's the only thing in the Shemayim above. He's the only thing in the earth below. Therefore, all of my quote-unquote Shemayim-like pursuits should be dedicated to Him, and all of my aretz-like pursuits should be dedicated to Him. V'zeh ba'emes hu davar gadol shetzarach ha'adam v'siyashev al zeh. And this is really a big thing that man has to, l'siyashev again means to reach an equilibrium, to work it out till he has this well inculcated within himself. So let me just summarize what he said. We have to pick up with it next time, really. But if I understand him correctly, if I understand Rav Kook correctly in the coming lines, what he's going to say is like this, and this circles back to something he spoke about at length that we read a few weeks ago or a month or two ago. If a person really understands what it means, Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, then whenever he is doing the will of Hashem, whether it be in the realm of Seichel, I have a deep understanding of this, I'm thinking about concepts, whatever a little bit that my Seichel can grasp of Hashem's Chachma, I'm understanding it, That feels very good. What if I'm doing a maisa mitzvah, an action of mitzvah, that I don't really understand it? I don't relate to it. Maybe I don't find it particularly inspiring right now. What he's going to say is, the shamayim mimal and that's aretz mitachas. It makes no difference. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is it. He is the Echad. He is the Yachid. He is the only thing that really exists. Everything else is a mikra. He happened to create it. The only thing that really exists is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He must exist. His will is therefore everything. If it's his will that I understand something in Torah, very good. If it's his will that I shake a lulav, that's also his will. It makes no difference. Do I understand it? Do I not understand it? So he's going to say that sometimes people feel like there's only meaning in something. He's going to use the term hisgalus halev, like revealing the heart. But I think what he means is, it may not be a perfect translation of what he means, but sometimes we talk about things that we find meaningful. I find this mitzvah meaningful, I find this concept meaningful, I find this sheer meaningful. But if a person has a thorough understanding that the Ratzon Hashem is all that there is, then I don't really care. If what I'm doing is Ratzon Hashem, whether it be in some lofty realm or be in some mundane, artsy, this worldly realm, if what I'm doing is the will of Hashem, that trumps any other feeling.
So it doesn't have to be meaningful.
Right.
It doesn't have to be.
And but the reason why it is so meaningful, even if it doesn't feel meaningful, is because he has an awareness, it's the will of Hashem. Hashem is inscrutable, he's unknowable, I don't understand him, so I'm zochet to understand certain little things of what he revealed to me. But the things where I don't understand, but he said, do this, I'm doing his will. That is such an overarching, overwhelming, you'll recall, he had that whole long section where he defined the mitzvah that says, don't do things al menas l'kabel pras, and the way he really defined that is, don't do it for the development of your own neshama, the completion of your own neshama. Do it because it's the will of Hashem. He had that mashal, somebody who saved the whole state from destruction, and then he got a $100 check as a reward. Who would care about the $100 check when there's this overarching greater good? If anything I do, it might be that for my own personal gratification, it may be good too, but the overwhelming feeling that it's Ratzon Hashem should trump anything else. So he's saying if a person is doing something, he does say later he'll come to that feeling, it'll come from that awareness. But even if it doesn't, then if he has an awareness, this is the Ratzon Hashem. The basic fulfillment of a mitzvah is I realize I'm doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah means a commandment from the Almighty HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what can be more than that? So it doesn't have to be with quote-unquote, it's meaningful, I understand it. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. If I just have the understanding that Hashem's will is all there is in the universe, then if I'm doing his will, then that trumps everything. It's a little bit of an oversimplification, but that's what he says here. And I mean, it's a shame. Next time we'll pick up with that and continue. Yeah.
Is it wrong to strong? Is there a problem on that? How I'm asking this? People gravitate to doing something that's meaningful to them. There are many mitzvahs out there. I'm not going to do all of them. So I want to do the ones that mean something to me because I get more out of it. So that's my madrega right now. About that, I'm not only do them all because it's the Ratzon Hashem, but right now, this is where I hold.
All right, so we're always striving for things. Let me just clarify. You're asking, is there merit in doing things because they're meaningful? He just quoted the Chovos Halvavos. One of the things that the Chovos Halvavos does emphasize, he says the whole reason he wrote the Sefer, is most of what we're supposed to do is take things from being just, I was told it's this way, to making it, I feel it and see it and know it to be this way. The Sefer, they call the Sefer the duties of the heart because he emphasizes to us. So when I'm a little kid, my parent says, serve Hashem. Hashem is one. The Chovos Halvavos says, to the degree that a person can realize for himself, it's not just my Rebbe told me, my father told me, my mother told me, it's, I see it and I feel, to the degree that we can make it, that we do understand it, of course, those are mitzvos. V'yodata, you should know Hashem is one, not just because my rabbi told me so. To the degree that we can make it meaningful, we're supposed to. But part of the Torah is also chukim. Part of the Torah is also things that elude man. What he's saying is, if there are mitzvahs that I don't particularly understand, if right now I have that mitzvah, what I'm supposed to realize is there's Ratzon Hashem. There's nothing else in the universe but Ratzon Hashem. So a mitzvah I do understand, very nice. A mitzvah I don't understand, also very nice. it's funny, coincidentally, we just had in my shiur with the man with Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham is a very deep idea. I'll just put it out there and you can think about it for the next 100 years. But that is, we think, Hashem commanded that we should be Balei Chesed and Balei Emes and Yashar because those are absolute values. the Torah commanded those things because those are good values. Hashem created everything ex nihilo. Those values didn't exist. Emes as a virtue was created. Chesed as a virtue was created. That lo sirtzach, thou shalt not kill, is bad, was created. We exist within creation. We exist within time. We exist. So for us, those are absolute values. But the only thing that's really absolute is Hashem. Killing could be a mitzvah. Hashem would still exist. You understand? As He created all, that's all a function of creation. The only real absolute, it's more absolute than the things you feel the strongest about. Mishpat, justice, somebody's being afflicted, an innocent person's being afflicted, that's an outrage, that is such a, that's so wrong, and correcting that is so right, but what you feel so strongly, that was created, it didn't always exist, that concept was created. But you know what wasn't created? Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem exists beyond all of that. So what can be, anything you feel strongly about, you feel indignant about, you feel is absolutely right, is less than Ratzon Hashem. It was created by Ratzon Hashem. So therefore, if I'm doing a mitzvah, it's the will of Hashem, even if I don't understand it, what can be more than that? That's what he's saying. So we do those mitzvahs too.
I'm just going to say an example, like washing your hands in the morning. Like, you may not want to, you know what I mean? And it may not be that meaningful to wash your hands, but you do it because...
Okay, yeah, right. So, Machlokas Rishonim, some say it's because it's a new day, you're refreshing yourself. Some say there's a tumah that comes on us, the Machlokas Rosh, Rajma, whatever the meaning.
Right.
I think some people probably do find some people do find it meaningful, maybe some people don't. But if I know it's the Ratzon Hashem, if I know it's in the third chapter in Shulchan Aruch that says I should do it, or fourth, whatever it is. So, Ratzon Hashem, so I do it. Right, that's what he says. Okay, we should all be Zochet to do the Ratzon Hashem.